Welcome to our Survivor podcast. Today is May 12th, and we are from Brooklyn and Tribeca once again. I'm here with my good friend, Chapeau. Chapeau, would you like to say hello to our listeners?
No, I don't feel like it at all. Those fuckers can all go conked out. But I just want to pick up on where you left off. You just said that today was May the 12th. Are you sure?
I'm sorry, that we were what?
I thought you said that today was May the 12th. Is that sure, or? Hello?
Yes, today is May 12th. In case you were wondering. So, Chapeau, I wanted to ask you something about your Facebook status, because I saw that you wrote about eating 12 bags of M&Ms in one sitting, and I was just wondering how that worked out for you.
Well, first of all, thank you for checking on my Facebook status. I mean, I only have one friend, that's Chapi. It's not very, interesting. I mean, I'm sorry, no, that's not what I meant. I mean, it's, you wish you had more than one friend, but for some reason, I try to befriend a lot of people on Facebook, but, I hear a lot of "you creep," that girl I just asked to join on Facebook to befriend me, if you want. She said I was grotesque. You know, it's sometimes when you hear something like that, you even go into the dictionary. Has that ever happened to you, Chapi? That, in other words, someone says something to you, a word that you heard before, you know a little bit, but for some reason it hurts, so you go look it up in the dictionary to make sure. For some reason you want to understand fully what I just said to you, as if you didn't already, So I look it up, grotesque. I think it means incredibly ugly. So that's what I got from one, so it wasn't very nice. And, so my M&M's friends, they're not very difficult. They don't really complain. They don't write up on my wall, but, I have a theory about M&M's, and I'm glad that you allow me on your podcast to get the mic on, because I have a theory that basically whatever you eat, when you eat M&M's, and man, you eat peanuts M&M's, because I don't like those classic M&M's. It's too flat, but peanuts, it's very nice. It destroyed my dentures a little bit, because I have dentures, and they kind of get stuck between the gum and the denture. Then it rots, and of course, it smells horrible. See, my main problem is that from 8 in the morning till 2, I have terrible breath. Then from 2 to 8, terrible, armpit smell. And from 8 to midnight, terrible feet smell. So it's a little bit toxic, if you wish. But anyway, my theory about M&M's is that whatever you eat, you keep. Like, in other words, you do not dispose M&M's. They stay with you, you know. So imagine the last month I must have had maybe 35 bags. So I'm carrying around 35 family-sized bags of M&M's. So imagine, attach yourself 35 family bags, and that's what I look like. You know, because you don't excrete M&M's. So just stay with you. They're real friends, see what I mean? It's not like in Facebook when they could be unfriended and you have a friend, and next month they don't like you no more because you stole their girlfriend, boyfriend. No, M&M's, friends for life. They stay with you. There's no way to get rid of them. I like that. I find it comforting and so happy. Beautiful song. I mean, listen, forget about that stupid Survivor show. We should really talk about your music, because so we had a little prime where I was revealing too much information. So yeah, so I was saying, for those of you who many, many listeners who don't know it, Shapi is she's a singer. She's actually a very famous singer, but I'm not gonna tell you her real name. You know, I think she's a bit ashamed. Are you ashamed, Shapi, of maybe being on a Survivor podcast? Maybe you think it would kill your chance of going on American Idol or something? Or, in other words, so I wonder if people could discover who is Shapi's real identity and who is she. And anyway, I'm just giving you a cute clue that she's a very famous singer, and maybe you'll find out. So anyway, very nice intro, and so how long did you prepare that beautiful song that you grace us with? Is it something you thought about before, or?
Well, I just kind of, what I did was, first I made up the melody. I did that in 1 minute, and then I played the melody, and I recorded it, and I just made the words up as I went along. So it's kind of like a little improv piece. And to answer your question, no, I'm not ashamed of being on a Survivor podcast, because really, I mean, no one's listening, so no one has any idea what's going on over here. So that's good for me. And for you, too, because I don't know. I mean, the stories about the M&Ms, it's making me sad. Like, it's just hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that you think of M&Ms as friends, because in my opinion, they're the worst friends to have. They're always with you, even when you just want to be alone. So I don't know, I think that's kind of annoying, but I guess to each his own, that's fine. So Shapi, I don't know if you wanted to read one of the emails we got this week from one of our listeners. Shapi?
Yeah, we got a message for someone called Bud Dahl from Phoenix, Arizona. And Bud Dahl is basically asking us if we believe that Matt could win the game. And so at first I was a bit taken aback, because wasn't Mike Wasn't he evicted many weeks ago? Like, I wasn't really sure. Not Matt, Mike. Yeah. I think he refers to Mike was evicted a long time ago, so I don't know exactly if this person was making any sense. Then we have another tweet. I heard that you got a tweet from Sophie, one last season of Survivor, Champy. I was very impressed by that. So what exactly was the tenure of your discussion? Are we gonna have a guest maybe on a podcast? Sophie from Survivor of last season. I heard you were tweeting with her over the week, and what was that?
Yes, we were tweeting. She said that she's a fan of our show. I don't know how she found it, but she thinks that we have a lot of great insights on the show. And, you know, she said she would love to come on. So I'm going to try to set something up with her. Maybe in the next few coming weeks, we'll have Sophie on here. Hopefully that works out for us, because maybe we can get some more listeners and get some insight to the game from someone who's actually played. So that would be pretty sweet. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So, in other news, now we're moving on to this past episode of Survivor.
We have an email from Germany from Bart. He wants to know, Champy, if you like life in Williamsburg. So I don't know how is that relating to Survivor, and if you want to partake in this type of debate. I find it kind of political a little bit, but so what do you say to Bart from Germany? He's from Cologne, Germany? I mean, that sounds a little bit suspicious right there, but so what, how do you like life in Williamsburg, and what's your 411 on that?
Well, you know, I like life in Williamsburg. It's a very interesting place, you know. If you feel like going out to a bar, you can go out to a bar. I was gonna say party, but you know, we don't really get invited to those, so. And then if you feel like reading a book, you can just go read a book in a cafe. You can talk about Nietzsche and all the, you know, significant philosophers that influenced our times. And, you know, people are very smart, but also like to, you know, have a drink once in a while. So that's fun. And you get the best of both worlds in Williamsburg. You really do. It's just a great place to live. You get a lot of cute boys walking around the streets and some cute girls for you, Chapeau. So, yeah, I mean, I would suggest for you to go there to try to give out your number. I think it could really work for you.
Yeah, I tried once, but the staircase shaft that goes out of the L train, you know, at Bedford Station by 7th Street is so narrow that I got stuck in the middle of it. And it was still pretty tight because kids in Williamsburg are very in a hurry. I don't know to go where, to do what, but So people going down were yelling, people coming up were yelling. I was creating some kind of a bouchon, so to speak. Speaking of bouchon, they don't give sandwiches no more, but bouchon management really changed a lot. For those of you who know the delicious Time Warner building, but yeah, so I was stuck in the staircase. It's very narrow. I don't know, it's one of the narrowest staircase exits, and I couldn't move. So, you know, people were coming up, but to go back down, walk on the other exit. People in the bottom of the middle, that people were coming down, had to go back up. Go down the other exit across the street. I mean, it was just such a story. And little by little, with my weight and gravity, made me slide, if you want. Both of my hips were stuck on each railing. And I was able to use this to slightly slide all the way down the stairs. You know, almost roll right down to the subway platform. It was quite a sight. So I don't want to go there no more because too many snickerings when that happened, and I can't get on that train. But, Shappy, we have another email from Ernst from Germany. Now, do you think that it is Bart? Already we had an email from Bart, now we have Ernie. Is that a joke, you think? I don't know. I find it suspicious. Anyway, Ernie from Germany. From Hamburg, Germany. A lot of Germans. What's up with that? He wants to know if we enjoy Survivor Germany. I mean, have you ever watched a Survivor? Did you know there was a Survivor in each country now? It's so popular. Yeah, it's across the world. Did you know that?
Not at all. So, have you watched Survivor Germany? Because I had no idea that there is a Survivor in each country.
Well, Ernie tells us that in his email that there is only one season in Germany. It wasn't successful in Germany at all, but they had one show. We missed it. Yeah. Supposedly you can see some of it on YouTube. And yeah, each country has a Survivor, believe it or not. Isn't it crazy? I wonder if there's a Survivor England. And so anyway, we have to talk about the new episode that saw the departure of Tarzan. I have a question to ask you. What do you think could be hanging out of Felicia's butt that would be requiring so much blur? Wherever that fat lady goes, there's a huge pack of blur throwing her butt everywhere. So my question to you is, what is hanging out of her ass that is so horrendous that requires so much blur? Do you realize how much money CBS is wasting? Because they need to have some, you know, special effect guy who goes for every move. So what do you think it is, in your opinion?
Oh, you know, I really didn't want to think about it, but now you're forcing me to. So I don't want to know. Probably like some extra flab or something. Ugh, something gross. Ugh, do you have any idea what it could be?
Yeah, a couple of ideas. One of those could be that her labias are so long that they're falling off her panties, you know? Like some banana peels, you know? Or it could be just some turd, that dry turd that she didn't notice that is hanging there, you know, that got stuck. Or it could be, I think the most, no, we are kidding, people, I heard. I hope you're not disgusted by this podcast, but no, the idea is mainly, I think most likely what it is, that after 39 days, a bush became enormous, and it's just popping out of her ass, basically, and a little tiny, who has such a fat ass, such a tiny panty, if you want, you know, this woman is ridiculous. But let's talk about a little bit about the show. Now, what did you make of Tarzan last-ditch attempt to flip some of those players? And how do you feel about the fact that now we have an all-female cast? We're going to the finale. By the way, are you going to meet me at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Sunday night to go spy on the survivors?
Of course. I'm going to meet you there. You know, it's just the event of the season. I wouldn't want to miss it. So, Tarzan, I think it was probably detrimental to his game to try to flip everyone around. I think if he would have sat tight, then he probably wouldn't have been voted out. But then there are some other factors that start to come in, like they were feeling paranoid because he was a man, and if he made it to the final three, then the men would have voted him out, you know. The men would have stuck by him, you know, in spite of the women. So there's also that, but I think that they all felt so weirded out and abandoned by him for telling them all different stories that they felt it was time for him to go because he was becoming dangerous. You know, up until this point, he's just been kind of coasting along because he was with the Girls Alliance, but now it's just, you know, he opens his mouth and he tries to pull a fast one on all of them. And that doesn't really look good for his game. Chapeau, what did you think about that?
Well, I think like every broken clock, you know, the beautiful saying, like a broken clock is giving you the time twice in a day. I think that's him. Like, you know, he had many good instincts all along the game, but I think he's an idiot, basically, and as a result, his move came so late, and I think he's one of those guys that is surprised that he's lasted so long, and when he wakes up one morning, he goes, oh my god, gosh darn it, I lasted so long, I must be a genius, a master at chess play. No, you're just a fool that people tolerated because you're so inane that they don't even imagine that anyone could vote for you. And that's, but we do tend to do that. We do tend to rationalize whatever luck coming our way in life, and we put it on the credit of us being geniuses. We are not. We were just lucky, and that we didn't get the chop earlier, you know, that's Tori's case. He was just dead weight all along. He's an idiot. And he said something at one point, well, if I arrive third, that's good enough for me. What? Like, in other words, at least you try to win that fucking thing, you know? I mean, I don't understand if someone could be so pathetic. But most of these people are. More importantly, Shapi, because I don't think this guy is worth anything. Also, he was a little bit funny, you know, because he's so out of it that it's kind of funny. Because he says it in a slow speech, but it's just a douche. But what about Alicia? I felt that this was Alicia's show last night. Two nights ago. But because really, I do believe that this butch had, you know, an amazing opportunity, but I just don't understand how someone could be so thick that she was just not seeing clearly. I mean, what do you say about Alicia game Wednesday night? And do you believe that, you know, there's something to it? Or, by the way, I feel that Chelsea is getting harder and harder by the, you know, I like slow accent. She speaks so slowly and quietly. I don't know, there's something about Chelsea. If only she didn't have fake teeth, I find that extremely unappealing. But what about Alicia's game? Like, what were your thoughts?
I really feel that she's getting way too cocky, but I don't think it matters for her because I'm pretty sure the girls are confident that she wouldn't win in a final three because she's just a horrible person. And I'll never forget how mean she was to Christina with Colton. Like, that will always stick for me. So it just annoys me that she thinks that she's calling all the shots here. I mean, I think she said something along the lines of, I'm running this game, something like that. And no, you're not, because Kim is the one who's running everything. Like, that's obvious. And people even pointed it out when they were on the yacht. Sabrina said, oh, you have those baby blue eyes, and you look at everyone, and you convince them that you're on their side. So, I mean, it's obvious she's very good at manipulating people, and that's scary. So, no, Alicia is not running this game. Kim is still running this game, in my opinion. Who do you think is running this game?
Well, sadly enough, and I find that very sad, but I think Alicia was. Imagine if Alicia was a smart person, which is not, but because she basically, in a number game, gave one of her numbers. So now instead of 3 against 3, she has 2 against 3. They might end up being picked up one by one. I feel the bond between Kim, Chelsea, and Sabrina is unbreakable at this point. So if, unless I'm highly mistaken, it is too late for Alicia to do anything. But I do believe that she was the only one who mentioned the fact that they might get rid of Kim, you know? So, I don't know. I feel it's very unfortunate that she didn't get, you know, the two spots. Just, by the way, that challenge when they're all spinning, there is a scene when you see Kim at first staring very close to the disc that she's supposed to spin, you know, and turning around like a robot. I mean, this girl is so driven. She's so competitive. She absolutely disgusts me. Look at that. She has a method to not be too dizzy by staying very focused on one spot in a disc she's supposed to spin in the first challenge, you know, the reward challenge. She's pathetic, but No, I do believe that Alicia had all the cards in hand because she could have very well convinced Christina and Tarzan to pretend they were going to vote for him. And in fact, attacking directly Chelsea. And in the game, Kim even mentions it, that she was about to vote Chelsea out. Kim has been dying to get rid of that sidekick of hers, you know, because she knows that ultimately she could be a threat in the final three. Kim would have voted Chelsea out. That's one of the saddest. There's a very sad scene when Kim and Shaozi are talking on the beach, and Shaozi is hinting at the fact that she might want to use Kim's immunity at all, and nothing is coming back from what's her name, Kim. You know what I mean? The coldness of the serial killer once again. That reminds me of a scene I lived through one day when I needed a friend of mine to do me a favor that he could have done very easily. And they saw me struggle and wonder who could I ask this favor from. And they were just sitting behind me, and the silence was deafening, because they said nothing. You know, it's a bit the same scenario. I don't know. Have you ever been in your life through a situation such as Chelsea situation, when later in the game we see her being on the spot? She's on a shopping block. She could be gone tonight. And she kind of does everything but ask directly Kim for immunity, and the other one stays on. She's not getting rid of it. So, have you ever been in a situation like that in your life, Shappy?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think everyone has at one point or another. You know, but it's just... Kim is... I feel like this episode was so... just revealing for her, because... you know, some people were saying that... she's manipulative, is that, but it was hard to find any real evidence. But in this episode, you see her thinking about voting Chelsea out, and you also see the scene you just mentioned. So I think that the rest of the tribe really needs to wake up and realize that Kim does not have any of their backs. I mean, she might just until the final three, but then after that, forget it. It's going to be full-out war. So I really think that they should have gotten rid of Kim this week instead of Tarzan. I don't think that was a smart move. Chapeau, I don't know what you thought about getting rid of Tarzan. Did you think it was smart or not?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, you're right. If, as you hint at, the final three will be Chelsea, Sabrina, and Kim, it will be all at war. I mean, those people are going to tear each other apart at the final trouble console. And basically, I would argue with you that if... this is what I suspected would end up, because it's a little bit the same scenario each season. Nonetheless, notwithstanding the brio of editors, you know, who make you believe that something else is going to happen when nothing happened. It's always a pick them one by one game, and that's what we're witnessing here. If this is the case, and you're right, and those three arrive at the end, and now that they are three against two, I don't see how it could work differently. It is obvious to me that it's anyone's game. Because Kim has a good case, but what about Chelsea? She has an excellent case. And Sabrina, a lot of people in the jury might maybe look, not in a good way as the way she was so outspoken at Trouble Console, but on the other hand, they might appreciate the fact that she was athletic and, you know, she was at the right place at the right time. I think the case of Sabrina might be the hardest, but Kim doesn't have it in the bag if she's sitting in the final three next to Chelsea. So how come people keep on saying that Kim is such a great player? I really don't see it. I see a serial killer. I don't see a smart player. And I do believe it was Alicia's game to lose Wednesday night. She had to convince Kim to kick Chelsea out. Then the numbers were three against two. And you next week you pick Kim and then Sabrina, and here you go. Then she goes on Final Three with Christina. Who's going to give $1 million to Christina? The biggest joke of the Survivor Series. And Tarzan, it would be ridiculous to vote for that fool. People might do it out of spite because Alicia is not liked. But, you know, I think she would have won the game. What do you think, Shappy?
Yeah, I think that scenario could definitely happen. Like I said before, I don't think it was smart of them to vote Tarzan out. I agree with you. They should have taken Chelsea. I mean, this was their big chance to make a big move. And again, they don't do it, obviously. So, you know, it's just, the game can get frustrating, obviously. When people don't make the best moves for themselves, so. Yeah, it's just the way the game goes, I guess. So, I also don't think it was, well, I guess this doesn't really matter, but I don't think it was that smart of, Chelsea to pick Kim and Sabrina for the reward challenge. I think that she probably should have picked people like Tarzan and Christina, because maybe she could have tried to convince them to vote out someone else if maybe she had someone that she wanted to vote out, because I don't think she did. I didn't hear her say within the episode who she wanted to vote out, but, and that's just because she follows what everyone else does, so, you know. Do you think she should have picked she shouldn't have picked Sabrina and Kim?
No, absolutely not. I thought it was completely idiotic. And I do believe this is one of those rare cases where you have five finalists, and I do believe that no one is running the show. I think we're in a case where history is taking care of itself, like Hegel would say, because we are now under the movements of the gigantic wheel of history going down the slope and basically taking everything with it on its path. That little dance that Chelsea did when she won the reward challenge was so pathetic. Then she embraced the wheels, you know, and fall on them and rest her head on it. Like, how competitive, how narrow-minded and so oblivious of the bigger scope of the game that she's playing. Like, it is, for me, absolutely mind-blowing. But, no, I don't think she should have picked Kim and Sabrina. I think it was a big mistake. She showed a card. The girl is completely clueless, you know. But she's very beautiful, and I think a lot of those people go about their life escaping any type of tragedies because people give them a lot of credit for things they don't owe, you know? So, it's sad. She got a lot of free passes. That's how she got her confidence from nothing serious, if you want, or tried. So I think you're right. I think it was a big, big mistake. And but unfortunately, I think the game is set already in its way. And I do believe that no one is in charge of this game, but everybody is going through the motions. And the motions are going to logically end up with a win by Kim on Sunday night. Now, you did say earlier, I would be delighted if anyone but Kim Actually, I would add to you anyone but Kim and Chelsea, to be honest with you, those two despicable people. But Chelsea is a follower. She's a, you know, like sharks have a pallet fish. That's what she is. And the real shark is Kim, of course. Chelsea is completely inane. But let me ask you a question. You did mention earlier that and that old woman's face is so annoying in a young person, but you did say earlier that Chelsea never mentioned of who she wanted to vote out, but doesn't she have a discussion with Christina at some point and mentioning that, you know, she really believed that, you know, it would be maybe smart of Christina to join her and Kim for final three, isn't that like something like that?
Oh, yeah. But I don't think she mentioned who she wanted out in that particular episode for that night. But or am I wrong? I don't remember.
What do you think of people who say to you that they've never been on a yacht, but yet 2 minutes after they board the yacht, they act like they were born on it? You know, it's just fascinating. Americans are fascinating people. The biggest white trash on earth are able to adapt in a New York minute to the life of the rich and famous. It doesn't take very long. You observe them. I would walk, first of all, I would have to be lifted on that yacht, but I would have to be, you know, teleported. But once I land on the yacht, I would be so shy and looking around and taking it all in. And that fucking asshole Chelsea, she's laying there like the Queen of Sheba. And she's married to the Emirate of Qatar. It's just monumental. Like, where do Americans get their sense of entitlement to richness? Could you tell me, Shapi?
No. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I have no answer for you or explanation. But, yeah, she was pretty comfortable on that yacht.
Shapi, have you been in a situation where all of a sudden you were thrown in the realms of luxury and you fit right in? Like a glove. Oh, by the way, I have a good joke for you. Do you know the story of the little man? Very little. Who had five little... Do you know that story?
Yeah. Yes.
You know it?
Yeah.
What is it?
I forgot, but I know it.
Oh. Well, that little man had five little spaghettis because he had underwear that fit him like a glove.
Haha.
You don't find that funny? No? Okay, I have another joke for you. Do you know the story? I'm too tired. Who cares? Do you want to hear my story? My joke?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's a story of on an Indian reservation. Do you know that joke?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, this little girl... No, this little boy, sorry. He runs towards his dad, Grand Bison, right? And he goes, Grand Bison, Grand Bison. And Grand Bison goes, what's going on? He goes, well, when I go to school out of the reservation, everybody's called John, Peter, Alicia, Kim, Chelsea, you know, Sabrina. How come we have weird names? So Grand Bison goes, well, listen. Do you know the joke?
No.
on the reservation, we of all heritage, natives, Indians, we have a tendency to give names to our breed according to where and how they were conceived. For example, your sister, Lil Bush, she was conceived in a little bush. See that little bush over there by the little hill? That's where, you know, your mom, Small Tippy, and I conceived little bush. Do you understand, Broken Kadam?
Yeah.
That was the punchline. You missed it, no?
What did you say at the end?
Do you understand broken condom?
Oh, no. That's not nice.
Well, that was my little joke. Okay, it was like a commercial. See, we're watching simultaneously. We started at the same time. Chappie in Brooklyn, Bremsburg, and I in Tribeca, New York, Manhattan. We started the show at the same time, and what were we talking about again? After my jokes. Yeah, so what else do you have to say? Except that the Kim has no tits, just such a flat-chested... Kim is such a weird person. I don't know. So, Chappie. I don't know. Any thoughts on that episode? Do you have a crush on Tarzan, maybe? Because I know you are of the appreciation of the saggy and the cranky, no?
No. That's not nice. I don't have a crush on Tarzan. But you said you don't like big boobs.
No, I don't. I was just observing that because she has such a... On the show last Wednesday, Kim was wearing that blue bikini top that looked like it's reserved for women who have tits, you know? And she has nothing, so it was funny when women do that. But I don't know. She was so excited when she was sitting on the beach talking to Alicia about what a little schemer Tarzan is. You know, she was punching the air, and I can't stand that girl, you know, because I think she was very animated last show, because maybe she felt that her ass was on the line. Now, earlier in the debate, we were talking about how Kim could have been kicked out. But remember, Kim has an idol. So wasn't it the best to vote for her, for Chelsea now? Because if they eliminated Chelsea tonight, on Wednesday night, next week they would have to take Kim down. But Kim has an idol. So how do you manage in having her out with her having an idol? And I think the last time she can play it will be in the next immunity challenge. So how is that possible to do? It would have been tricky. Because remember, Alicia does not know of Kim idol. So I have a feeling that no matter what, Kim could have been overpowering Alicia move in a way. But now we'll never know, because that brain damage, ghetto, barrio, Alicia from Puerto Rico. Have you noticed, like, when American, especially Hispanic, when they talk about, you know, they talk normal, you know, like, I mean, normal. I mean, they speak with no accent. And then they say one word in Hispanic or in English, in Spanish, sorry, and they go crazy Hispanic. You know, like, they go, yeah, I was reading this book about Che Guevara. Or, yeah, where did you go last week? Oh, last week I went to Mexico. You never listened? You never heard that weird phenomenon?
Yes, I have. So, yeah, now that we're watching this show, I was just thinking about how stupid these challenges are. Just completely nonsensical. I would hate to do that. I don't know about you, Chapeau, but I don't think I would be any good at those challenges because they're just too active and too mindless. Like, ugh, just stupid. And you see them running across the beach with their hands tied behind their back and all so serious. It's just ridiculous. I think it would be more interesting if they had challenges that were more academic, per se. I think that would be very interesting to see where everyone stands in their knowledge and I don't know. What did you think of that challenge?
Oh, the challenge of the fish bones. Hey, look, it's a very dumb show for dumb people. We're going to talk about Immanuel Kant. But once again, what is hanging out of Alicia's butt to necessitate such a huge blur? I think it's some dried up turd that gets stuck there and nobody told her. I don't know. Nobody can bear to tell her. Because how do you break that to someone? Oh, you have a turd hanging out of your ass. It's not happening. Well, I agree with you entirely. I mean, I think those challenges are deranged, and it's a testament to the show intelligence to see how much money they spend in them. So, for the last season, less and less, but still, they're so proud, it seems, of their challenges. I think they have challenge experts who write them for them. You know, it's very thought of, and they think they're so smart. It's just horrendous. It's like, you know, yeah, I would love, you're right, for them to sit them all down around a table. How about that? By the sea, you know? And ask them a simple question, like, what do you think of the Glass-Steagall Act? Should it be upheld? Should it be reinstated? And was it the cause of the 2008 crisis? I mean, that would be a show I would watch. But could you imagine the face of those assholes, especially Chelsea, with all a fake, empty, shallow confidence, if that question was asked by Jeff Probst, you know? But Jeff Probst doesn't even know about the Glass-Steagall Act, probably. Because he spent his days listening to that douchebag Howard Stern, so what do you know? Are you going to watch Howard Stern on American Got Talent?
No. I don't. I'm kind of fed up with Howard Stern. He's, you know what he did? He sold out. That's what he did. He had a show going on Sirius XM, and now he got the offer from America's Got Talent, and it's comfortable for him because he only has to work, what, once a week or something like that? And I heard they moved the show to New York for him, and now he doesn't have to. He's actually going to stop his radio show because 3 days a week is too much for him. So, yeah, he's annoying me. And I guess, you know, he's getting old. He's 58, so I guess it's, you know, around that time to start retiring. Are you going to watch him?
No, because that show, American Got Talent, is too stupid to even, you know, believe. Supposedly one of the contestants, his talent is that he has friends that go on stage with him and they kick him in the balls as hard as they can. That's his talent. That's going to be that type of show, you know. Did you hear that he's going to cancel his show, his radio show? Is that something you heard?
Yeah, I read it in an article.
Seriously?
Yes.
When is it gonna end?
I don't know.
Well, I don't. I stopped listening this year to a show. I canceled my subscription at Sirius because really, I don't appreciate him cutting his work week from 5 days when he was on terrestrial radio to 3. What the hell? You know, and then all those dumb repeats from 1974 that nobody cares about. I don't know. Well, I'm very saddened. I didn't know. I never heard that he was going to cancel his radio show, but it was written in the wind. I mean, you could see that that's where it was going. Yeah. Well. So, what do you think of those 5 contestants left? First of all, is that... Are you feeling good being a woman that... The woman prevailed on those rooster, because I don't know if you remember, but in February we had a whole bunch of roosters, and all those cocksuckers are gone. So are you happy? I mean, do you feel empowered that the woman prevailed, Shappi?
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, I was hoping that they would eventually, because they got off to such a bad start. So, you know, I'm happy that a woman is going to win.
They say it's making history. It will be the first time in the history of the show that the last 3 contestants will be women.
Really? Wow. Good. It's about time. So, how do you feel about the men?
Well, you know, I just call them cocksuckers, so that says it all, in my opinion. I mean, I do believe they were horrendous. But we go back to what you were saying against... about the challenges. I mean, this show appeals to people who love the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Not maybe all of them, but some of the people who love the Super Bowl love Survivor. You know, it's the type of class flyover state, you know, like ignorant, bigoted, sexist, narrow-minded Christian. You know what I mean? That's what you get. So, yeah, it's very global. It's a very patriarchal type of show, you know. And the daddy is Jeff Probst. What do you think of Jeff Probst? Any crush on that old crook?
No, are you kidding me? He's so gross. He's just... I don't like him at all. I think he's annoying. I think he is not rude, but sometimes, like, he thinks he's cool. He talks, like, he condescends to people. He's just unbearable. I wish they would get someone else. How do you feel about him?
I agree with you, but I, as I told you before, I take the show at face value. I don't rewrite another show in my head like most of those assholes on the podcast do. I just take it for what it is, which is, you know, a window inside an America that, living in Manhattan, I don't get to see, which is like that mid Western family value, let's go to brothel to get pee in the mouth type. You know what I mean? And I don't know those people, so I find them kind of fascinating. But it is a very crash show, and this guy embodies it. As a matter of fact, now he's an executive producer of the show, so the show starts to look more and more like him, which is like a big goober. What a douche. Supposedly, did you know that, by the way, he has an enormous temper and he yells at contestants, he stopped the filming in the travel council 60 times. Did you know the travel council lasts 4 hours? Insult the contestant if they don't give him juicy bits, you know. What is your this whole side is notorious to have insulted all the contestants and started some horrendous temper tantrums and, you know, stamping his feet on the ground and yelling, firing everybody on the show. You know, I mean, he's a douche. But, you know, who wear a khaki shirt and pants? Do you know what I mean? Like he's some kind of colonizer, you know, like those people in the colonies. What do you call them? Or he goes on a safari, or I don't know. He's a douche, he's a cunt. What do you mean to say? Complete idiot. But it's interesting for people who live in Manhattan to have this look into that middle center part of the country, which is this type of animals, you know, full of beer and STDs and Bible, and you know what I mean? STDs and Bible usually go hand in hand. That's the truth right there, facts, you know. Anytime in life you meet someone who preaches the Bible, I can assure you they run to the brothel at night to get pee in the face and poop in the mouth. How about that? That's your Bible for you. Yeah. Bible thumper. Well, it's a Christian show, you know. Like, family values. That's what Jeff Probst loves. Like the all-American next door boy, you know, get up at the crack of dawn to cut the grass. You know those assholes who wake you up every Sundays, like putting the grass cutter. And I remember I had this friend, she invited me to her house, God forbid, sir. And it was a girlfriend, because yeah, I wasn't always like 600 pounds. You know, I was slim, like a gazelle. I had a girlfriend and she invited me in Connecticut. So, oh, you know, I was never a morning person. So I was sleeping like a baby at maybe 9 on a Sunday morning when a sister's boyfriend, that cunt of all cunts, wakes me up because that motherfucking bitch was tarring the driveway. You know, our white trash do that all the time. They have this obsession on tarring. So, you know about that, Chappie?
No, not really.
They buy some ready-made tar at Walmart, some kind of white trash store like that. And they reduce the tar every 5 weeks. You know, the OCD on the tar display. And so, it's that pre-made, you know, like cake mix for cakes. But it's tar, if you can believe that. It comes in a bag, you pop it, warm it, and you have a new tar. So I look through the window, and I see this cunt, like, trying to put his tar in its smell, its stunk. And it's like, ugh, he's working on it, he's getting trapped in the tar. And anyway, but it was a ready-made tar driveway. I mean, it looks like it, too, you know. But it was like an aluminium siding house, you know. The American dream, right there. But that cunt woke me up at 9 in the morning to tar the driveway, you know. Every Sunday, maybe it gives it a do-over, you know what I mean? Well, that's, I don't know why I'm saying that, but that's the type of people who watch Survivor and play on the game Survivor. Competitive, bully, you know. Mitt Romney type, you know. I believe that Jeff Probst cunt is a Republican, I can tell. No?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's funny that you mention Mitt Romney after that story that came out yesterday about supposedly he was bullying some kid in high school and he cut his hair. I could see Jeff Probst doing that. Definitely. So, yeah, it's always funny seeing the jury come into tribal council, because that's the part we're up to in the episode. And you see them getting fat and puffy, and they're all so mad that they were voted out. Especially Kat. She was like calling them bitches and this and that. So it's always funny to watch that.
Yeah, she seems to be crying when Tarzan was talking about wearing on his head her panties. Why on earth would you cry? Maybe she feel, you know, violated. That old goat was putting. See, she's crying when he's talking about putting her panties on his head, which is completely insane. I mean, come on, this guy is a perv. I don't believe he's a surgeon. I mean, come on. Maybe he got this degree. You know, you know those universities, like I think it's Phoenix University, that you can get a degree online, you know? I mean, come on. He bought his degree. Don't tell me this guy is a surgeon. There's no way. He's a complete idiot. He got this degree online, you know, in some kind of fake med school. Just preposterous. I don't believe for a second this asshole passed the American Medical Board exam. But the show became vapid. There's no interest. But did you see, because you're in love with Chorzan, how mad he was, and he still sent darts in his eyes to the girls on the jury and make faces? This maniac is still going at it.
Yes, I did notice that. And just for the record, I don't really have a crush on him anymore. I'm kind of over that, so just wanted to put that out there. But it's always funny to see people be so angry in the jury when it's just, you look stupid. Like, just get over it. It's a game, and oh, it's just annoying.
Yeah. I agree with what you said earlier. I could never play any of those challenges. I would be ridiculed. I would be mocked. Snickered on. Speaking of sneakers, I have all those frozen sneakers in my freezer, and I'm gonna eat them up. So yeah, Tarzan is gone, thank God. This show is kind of funny because you spend a few months with all those people, like, you know them. Every week you get to know them a little bit. And Tarzan has men tits. So, which girl you find the most attractive on the show, Shappy? If you were gay, let's say, which carpet would you munch?
Out of all the girls, or just the five? I mean, four left, or whatever.
Out of all the girls on this season, any carpet munching going on?
I really don't think any of them are that attractive, to be honest. There's something unattractive about all of them. Like, Kat looks like she's 3 years old. Kim's eyes are weird. They're too close together. Chelsea, just the face, horrible. Alicia, horrible. Sabrina, horrible. Christina, no. Yeah, I don't have any girl crushes at all.
Well, who did you like? Did you like the girl in the girl with the dragon tattoo, Rooney Mara? Do you have a crush on her a bit?
No, do you?
Yeah, I like her. She's plain Jane, but I like that. I love that girl's next door, you know. Well, I think Chelsea's hot, I'm not gonna lie. Kim is hot. That's about it. I mean, you know, Kat is too dumb to be hot. You know what I'm saying? After a while, stupidity. Did you watch American Next Top Model, Shappi?
No, I did not.
Okay, what about Rachel and Brandon winning the Amazing Race? What did you make of that?
They didn't.
You know they did.
No, they didn't. Don't try to trick me. That horrible couple won. Oh, those two are so annoying. I hate them. I wish Rachel and Brendan won over them.
All right. I think we did too much philosophy. A lot of current policies. A lot of smart thoughts were, you know, maybe it's time to end this catastrophic podcast. And everybody must have a good night. And we'll talk to you after the finale of Survivor on Sunday night. Oh my, already finished. Then by Monday, everybody will be on Survivor Withdrawal, you know. We will go spy the survivors at Ed Sullivan Theater Sunday night and try to, you know, find out a little bit what they look like in real life, and we'll report to you our stalking methods in the next Shappi Shappu Bidi Bo concert. No?
Yes. Good night.